Mental Health Monday on Radio City Talk with Mick Coyle.
Radio City Talk.
So this week's Mental Health Monday I thought was absolutely fascinating. We were talking about an event which is actually taking place as we speak at the Brink in Liverpool, just on Parr Street, which is flagged up as a dry bar when it first opened, but actually it doesn't quite reflect that, the great amount of work that goes in there. And it's a workshop which is looking at the issue of addiction. And it's not just addiction to things like drink and drugs. It's addiction to other things that are going on in their lives, and also looking at the spectrum of addiction compulsions that people have, maybe things they're getting into in regard to technology, social media, that might not officially class as an addiction, but might also be causing them problems in life too. There's loads of great experts going on in Liverpool and having those conversations as we speak. So let's talk about that as part of Mental Health Extra, which follows on from Mental Health Monday every week with Jake Mills from Chasing the Stigma. Jake, great to see you. Thank you for your time.
And you.
I think there's a reason we do Mental Health Monday. And I think yesterday was a classic example once again about the stories that are out there. Incredible stories. Somebody who then comes in a radio studio, tells the entire world that they have and had drink addiction, that they had hard drug addiction, heroin addiction, that they would try all kinds of different drugs, and spoke about it in a way which was so brutally honest and open, without that fear of stigma. And I think those sort of conversations that we heard on Mental Health Monday are the sort of conversations which will open up somebody else to thinking, oh, right, maybe I can talk about this. Maybe there is a way back from these addictive feelings that I'm having.
Yeah, I mean, it was an incredibly raw conversation. I always kind of steer away from using the word brave, because I think that's actually part of the problem, is that if we see talking about issues...
Did I just say brave?
No, all but right. I'm about to. I think if we talk about bravery, then that makes it a bigger leap for people to do. However, the kind of the nature of that conversation yesterday, and to talk about such horrific life experiences, and you know, you're talking about kind of a man who's been dead a couple of times and brought back round, and to do it in that way, and to basically put his life out there for everybody to see, and those vulnerabilities and hard times, was incredibly brave the way that he's done it, and it will make a difference. Not only that, it's looking at somebody who a lot of people probably would have just written them off, and probably himself, and being that low, and that, as I said, you can't really get much lower than being dead a couple of times.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
and to come through, and to be doing what he's doing now, and to be working the way that he is. And you know, you talk about inspirational stories, I don't think it really can get more inspirational than that one yesterday.
In terms of I think there's an interesting conversation around addiction, because addiction in and of itself is a sort of a mental health illness when it becomes this obsessive thing which is damaging to yourself and other people as well. That's understandable as well. It was interesting to hear from the expert from Action on Addiction talking about the fact that there are other things going on in people's lives, and actually the addiction can also bring about other mental health crises as well. At the same time, you've got to work out where that addiction desire is coming from. You know, Carl talked about, you know, switching between addictions as well, and that need to find something to almost be addicted to. That's huge complexities to that, right? This isn't just a let's clear our minds, let's go for a jog, let's take up a craft. These are things which need absolute interventions to try and help people along those journeys.
Yeah, and it is so complex, and a lot of it will often come from this idea of self-medicating and trying to find a solution to the way that you're feeling, and then that's how an addiction can come about as well. And that's why we need to have this early intervention and allowing people to get access to help and support before addictions kind of become what they often do. You know, run a charity called Chasing the Stigma. We talk a lot about stigma, and we talk about these kind of misconceptions that a lot of people have, and particularly with addiction, it might surprise you, it might not, but the amount of people who feel that addiction is actually a choice. You know, when you hear about people who say, well, they've had a chance to help, and you know, they're back on drugs or they're drinking again, You know, I've lost sympathy for them because they've had the chance to help, and here they are again. It's like it is not a choice. This is not just a lifestyle choice that somebody's saying, I won't get help because I'd rather just drink. It's not that simple. It's not that easy, and that was kind of evident yesterday in that conversation with Carl. About how you can be at that low point, you know that it's not the right thing for you. You know it's absolutely detrimental to your health and to your life, but it's not as easy as just choosing and picking and choosing whether you stop or not.
It must be so hard, though, for people to have the desire to change, but the desire to change is only sort of usurped by the desire to keep doing what you're doing, that you want to change, but you don't have that ability to do it. And you can hear stories like that. And I still think there'd be a lot of people who would have heard it who are in the depths of addiction who are thinking, fine, you got out, but I can't. Mm-hmm. And I think if we, you know, as many people as possible who can kind of go, I have walked this path. I know what these feelings are. Yeah. And I know that those feelings of self-doubt, but you can be on that journey in the same way that I was, and you can win. It must be so difficult to get that across, because if you, you know, this isn't just, you know, a bit of an issue that you're dealing with in your life. This is, you know, if you, particularly if it's things like heroin, you're also mixing in a world which is, you know, fraught with problems as well. If you are constantly requiring cash, you find yourself doing things which again might have criminal ramifications as well. So you're treading this tightrope of feeding the addiction and at the same time doing things at every single turn which might send your life spiraling in a million and one different directions, all the while thinking, I do actually want to do something about this.
And that's it. And it's a vicious circle. And often the hardest thing to do is to step outside of that and one, accept that you do need help, but also actually receiving that help. And that's why the work that both Action on Addiction and The Brink are doing is so important, because they do have access to people. People can access them and receive that vital work. I've often said, I think it must be the most difficult thing to live with addiction. Everywhere you turn, every part of your life, it's going to be affected. And also the importance of stories like Carl's yesterday is that a lot of people just would not recognise that in themselves until they actually hear it from somebody else. And that's why it is important to have that lived experience and sharing those stories if people feel comfortable in doing that. Because often we don't recognise our own behavior. We don't recognize what we are kind of doing or what kind of trap we are in until actually somebody else points that out to us. And so I'd like to think that anybody listening to that yesterday who maybe didn't recognize in themselves before will, and hopefully will reach out for help and support.
Action on Addiction is a good place to start with a Google search if you want to find out more information about the work they do, through Sharp as well, which is the organisation that we were talking about yesterday. The Brink in Liverpool as well, which have got that event taking place today in Parr Street, but they're here sort of every day of the week, where you can find out more information about these types of workshops and the work that they do. But Action on Addiction, very good place to go to. Of course, you can find mental health services close to you where you are by using the Hub of Hope, hubofhope.co.uk, or use the app, and that'll use the location on your device to find its way to you and to get mental health services close to where you are. Can I ask you about something which it kind of got mentioned on the program, and I think it might be relevant to many people's lives, that idea of like mobile phone social media addictions. This thing where if you get a like on something, you get a notification, your brain releases this little thing which kind of goes, boof, you're relevant, or boof, there's your little moment. And I found myself where I've kind of, oh yeah, I'll check whether or not people are involved in that or whether or not that conversation's taking place, to the point where I find myself doing it at home. If the kids are around, I hate the idea of me being on a phone when my kids are around and them looking at me on a phone and then me looking on social media and then them just going, well, that's just what adults do, therefore I'm going to do that. And I think from the official definition, that's not necessarily an addiction, but it's compulsion that we have. And I just wonder, a little bit, I feel like we're almost sleepwalking into almost a form of addiction there, certainly on that spectrum, where we keep looking for this thing, like the thumb scrolling. Yeah. And I think, like, I heard somebody say on a podcast the other day, no one ever went on a mobile phone for an hour of scrolling through and then at the end of it went, well, I feel better about myself now and a lot better about the world I'm in and the people who I share it with. You know, it seems to, although there are great positives that come from it, there are also a great deal of, particularly if you're looking on it for hours and hours, no one has hours and hours of endless positivity on social media.
No, and do you know what? I've I find myself doing that quite a lot of the time where let's use Twitter, for example, and you're scrolling that or you're updating it and you're not really necessarily reading anything new. But 2 minutes later, you're doing it again. It's almost an automatic thing to do is pick up your phone and just scroll it. I don't actually care what anyone's got to say. I don't particularly post on social media myself anyway. I'm trying to take myself away from that. But it is that idea that it's almost an automatic reaction to do that.
I find sometimes that I'm just looking on my phone. Even if I'm on like a landline phone.
Yeah.
I'll also have my other phone in my hand, and naturally I'll just start scrolling through.
Yeah.
And I'm not even looking at it. And I'm
what
even
are you
thinking,
looking for?
And I'm almost, but I'm thinking, I didn't even realise I was looking at it. Just there's something in my brain which basically goes, yeah, do that.
Yeah.
I think, it's not an addiction in the way that, you know, it's damaging, but it's got to be, it's not benefiting me in any way, shape or form.
No, I agree. But I think a lot of us don't realise that we've actually fallen into that same pattern. I mean, even like how many times, like if you've ever forgotten your phone, the panic, and it's not necessarily because someone can't get in touch with you. It's just because it's almost like another hand to you where you're like, I need that in case I'm bored. Or
doing a Yui on the M57 because you're thinking, I can't be without it.
You know, I need that when I'm stood waiting for the train so I don't look weird or whatever, you know what I mean? It's kind of, you just have that. And even like when I've had it, where I felt my phone vibrate in my pocket. It's not actually in my pocket, but it's almost like something like my leg expects there to be a phone in there, where it almost twitches as if I've got my phone there. So it is kind of, your phones are not your phone, are they? It's almost this access to the world. But I don't know what I'm actually getting out of that access.
It's weird, isn't it? But then that's that thing of, we do a behaviour that we repeat over and over, which brings no benefit. And then part of me thinks, well, what are we not doing when we're on our phones? Because there's all these studies that say, well, screen time ain't that bad as long as it's not having an impact. But it's not doing something. It's what are you actually doing? Or what are you not doing because you're spending all your time?
Well, the classic one is reading, isn't it? I always think that I don't have time to read. But I probably would if I would replace social media with a book. Then probably I would have time to read. I just feel like I don't, because like I've got time to read because I've got a 3-year-old that I don't get any time there. But actually, when I'm sat on my phone, on the train or anywhere else, then actually could be reading.
Yeah, but wouldn't it? But again, if you were the sort of guy who read like you use your mobile phone,
yeah,
like halfway through a conversation you get a little bit bored, you just like pulled a book out of your pocket and started reading through it in the way that people sometimes just start checking the phone
just here now,
while they're actually just talking to you.
Yeah.
Here's a question. Yeah. What do you say to somebody who's just on their phone and you're just thinking, what are you doing on your phone? Like, you know, everyone's doing, you know, you go to the pub and then somebody will show somebody a photo. Next thing you know, all the phones are out and suddenly there's silence and the six of you and you're all on phones. And if you catch it, like if you just spot it in your own mind's eye as to what's going on, it's a really depressing thing that you think, what have we become?
Yeah.
On earth are we doing?
No, and what do I say to people? You probably don't even say anything. You just accept it.
Because you just think, well, to be fair, it's probably more interesting than me.
Yeah, you do think, I have that moment, I think I might just stop talking. And you think, if I just stop here, they're not going to actually notice.
But I've said this before, there's like, you mentioned the phantom vibe, yeah, right? Yeah. But I think there's something in that whereby, like, who would be the most amazing person in the world to meet? Like,
for me, Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce Springsteen, right? So if you were talking to Bruce Springsteen and in your phone, if your phone started buzzing in your pocket, even though you were speaking to Bruce Springsteen, part of you would be going, I wonder who that is. I wonder if that's like Barack Obama, like somebody even more interested than Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
Like, and you'd probably go, oh, I can't answer that. But then part of your brain would go, I wonder if that is something that's actually more interesting than this particular moment.
Yeah, or imagine if you got to speak to Bruce Springsteen and then he just pulled out a book and just started reading it while you're talking. That'd be worse though, wouldn't it?
Yeah. That'd be a strange one. But there you go. I just thought it was an interesting thing. Jake, something I wanted to give another mention to as well, and this has come up a few times, and again, there's no necessarily right answer to this one. when we talked in the past about people talking openly about their mental health, if they choose to do it through things like social media, sometimes people say to me and go, how do I respond to this? And it might well be that somebody's responded saying, I feel like this, and it might be particularly negative thoughts. It might be a person in a crisis. And then that person who's just gone, here I am, this is my journey, suddenly feels like they're duty bound to try and prevent somebody from potentially taking their own life, or they want to sort of guide somebody to the right resources as well. There's not necessarily any right answer to this outside of things like Hub of Hope. Mm-hmm. We always make the comparison between mental health and physical health. If you were telling a story about a broken leg and then someone went, I've broken my leg too, you'd say, call 999 and get a doctor to take a look at it, because that's the help that you need. What sort of things do you do if people go, thanks for posting that, I feel like this now? And then they're not necessarily asking for help, but they're just telling you that they might be in a particularly bad way.
I think it has to be a similar type of approach, really, in that unless you are a mental health professional, unless you are an expert, then it's not your job or your role to be counselling or fixing that person's problems. So if you do feel like you want to share your own experience that's personal to you, if that means that some people will come to you, which I would argue probably would happen, it's signposting them, guiding them to the experts. Whether they're asking for help or not, it's always better to let them know, thank you for sharing that, do you know that there's help available? If you use the Hub of Hope, hubofhope.co.uk, that is one database for all mental health support. But it's knowing that it's not up to you to necessarily take on the problems of other people. If you're not an expert, show them where the experts are.
Yeah, Hub of Hope is a good example of that one as well. And a lot of those programs and that we've done through Mental Health Monday have got contact details, there's text services, phone numbers that people can call as well. And that's something we provide through our Mental Health Monday podcast feed as well. Hub of Hope is a really good place to go. And don't forget as well, 999, if it's an actual emergency situation, is a number you can call. Just wanted to mention that because a few people have said that to me. What do I do if... And it's why things like mental health training as well is very useful within the workplace. Something else that Jake's involved in as well, through Chasing the Stigma. Jake, thank you for your time.
No problem.
Next week's Mental Health Monday is Claire from Fleabag. You know Fleabag's sister?
Yeah.
Sian Clifford, who's coming on Mental Health Monday.
That's
a top amazing guest, isn't it?
That is.
That's a really good one.
Yeah. That's, I mean, followed by me. So that's going
to
be good.
Yeah, yeah. So you've got to listen and you've got to review, like, an actor who's been in like an Emmy winning show, right?
Yeah.
So you're not going to criticize her really, because she's...
Do you talk about Fleabag?
I might ask her a few questions about Fleabag as part of the conversation.
Of course.
It'd be rude not to. Sian Clifford's next week's guest on Mental Health Monday.
Mental Health Monday with Mick Coyle.
On Radio City Talk.